Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
How does it feel, I guess? You're a week out from your win. You're already back out here. Obviously, you had a year, but why do this? What made you say yes? So you were like, I can't say no to Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, literally, you just answered the question. I got the call, and I literally had just gotten back to my original weight. And I was like,
well, here we go
literally
now.
That same day, I remember feeling very happy about it. I was like, absolutely, in a heartbeat. You know, I think people are going to hate this answer, but like the experience is just insane. I learned a ton about myself and I won, obviously. So like in the game, I mean, not even just like living on an island and like the people, but just being able to play this game again.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I knew I would play again one day, or I thought I had high hopes, but I just didn't know.
I think we all knew we would play again. So I'm not, yeah. But now that you have two people with you from your season, are you worried? Are you like, this is good for me? This is not good for me? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, I'm pretty worried about it. Like people ask, are you afraid of like the winner's target on your back? And I think the winner's target's a little bit smaller. I think the bigger target is this group of three.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I would be very worried if I started on a tribe with Joe or Camilla. Both of them were shown to be two of my closest allies in very different ways. But I think there's a couple things going in my favor here. There's multiple groups of three, right? The David and versus Goliath people have group of three. You know, season 46 people have group of three. And there's tons of people who've played together multiple times. Sari has played with like a ton of people.
A lot of them.
Aubrey's played a couple times. So I think I can use this to my advantage. You know, every vote out here is going to matter. And I think it's really just about making sure that people don't see this group of three as a threat and maybe like a nice shield for them. Or maybe taking out some of these unaffiliated people who are out here by themselves or don't really have that many close friendships in the community might be an easier sort of thing to dangle in front of people at the beginning of the game.
Interesting. Okay. There's some speculation. Were you purposely downplaying your relationship with Camilla because you like knew you guys would be out here or no?
In real life? Or?
Yeah. I saw this like as a conspiracy theory. So I was like, I don't know if it was true.
Oh, no. No, I mean, in real life, Camilla and I are good friends.
Yeah.
Like, there was no bad blood between us at all. I think it showed that sort of at the end. You know, during the season, you can't really, like, show, like, you know, can't really, like, put too many things in. Like, and, like, as soon as the game ended, I think maybe on socials, like, we dropped a couple things. But no, we weren't hiding anything in real life.
Okay.
We're not that coy or tricky.
Obviously, we know there's two winners. I don't know if there's a third or not or whatever. But any plans to work with D or navigate that? Is that going to help you?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to work with D. I don't know if we'll be on the same starting tribe, but
yeah.
If we got together, I think that it would be a necessity for us to work together because one of us goes, then the other one obviously becomes a massive target.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like, I just worked with a very scary player throughout my entire season. Camilla was a very scary player. I think that came across on TV. And, like, I'm not afraid to work with scary people. Like, okay. that is my MO. Like, if you are a dangerous player, I've seen, like, I saw Dee pull the wool over so many people's eyes. But, like, I'm happy to work with that because I trust my own gut. And if I get got by that, it's better than getting got by somebody else who's not that, you know, not that shown to be a great player. Mm. So I would love to work with Dee. And then you just got to look over your shoulder, just like I did with Camilla.
Okay, I like that. Who are you not thrilled to see, or not maybe like, I don't see myself working with this person?
You know, I don't know the 49ers, so this right. is like a very, like, because I genuinely, I'm the type of guy, like, I can see myself working with so many different people on this island. Mm-hmm. I think that I could develop connection with a ton of people. The thing that scares me about the 49ers is, like, we just don't have any game tape on them. And, like, for example, Rizzo. Like, I'm trying to think, like, what is it about this guy that, like, he's on 50? This is, like, a season that's, like, a very, like, you know, landmark season. He's obviously got to be a good player. Savannah is locked in. Like, mm-hmm. I can tell that she is ready to play this game. Rizzo comes across as this very unassuming sort of person. Like, I don't know. Like, is he out here finding, like, five idols? Like, is he out here lying to everybody? Or is he just, like, an unassuming challenge beast? Like, you know, there's something about these people that I don't know, and that, to me, is very threatening. Mm. I'm sure it's a very cookie cutter answer that you're going to get from a lot of people, but yeah. I am very scared of both of them.
Unknowns. You don't yeah. know them.
I like predictability.
Exactly. Okay. Well, what, I guess, cues or anything you're picking up at Ponderosa? Anything you're noticing? Like, just, are people, like, ready to go? Or is there anyone sort of winking? Like, anything you're seeing at Ponderosa?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm the biggest culprit of this, but everybody's just putting on their, like, nice guy, you okay. know, nice, like, you know, I'm nice person face. Yeah, you know, everybody's, like, super courteous, and not that anybody wouldn't be in real life, but I think that, like, everyone's super courteous, soft smiles, like, you know, trying not to create any enemies, and that's because, like, it's such different vibe than my last Ponderosa, which was less than a year ago, right, mm-hmm. where everybody's kind of being themselves. Here people have been through the process, and you can tell that everybody's trying to broadcast, like, I am a good person. Now, hopefully for me, people just saw me be, like, you know, nice guy, crying on TV, like, you know, like, hopefully people think that about me, so I don't need to do too much, but that's definitely what kind of the vibe is. Like, everybody's kind of, like, just being super courteous and nice at Ponderosa.
Okay. I mean, are you planning to play a similar game, or are you switching it up completely?
You know, I think yes and no. I think one thing, I don't know how much this shone through, like, the last time, but, like, I really had strong relationships with every single person on the island. I mean, up until, like, the end of the game, everybody that I came in contact with, for the most part, I had a very good relationship with. And I planned to do the exact same thing. Mm. You know, I did it in a way, like, I talk about it, like, in the party analogy. Like, I go to a party, sometimes I can be boisterous, but I think, like, my bread and butter is, like, I genuinely like to talk to people, like, one-on-one and learn about them. So, like, I want to build a foundation of people at the beginning of the game that, like, I can, like, close to and see myself playing the game with, and, like, move forward with them. Now, where my game diverges a little bit is, I think that, like, because it was my first season and because of, like, the really emotional conversations that were have, some shown, some weren't, I was really kind of afraid and didn't feel as if I needed to be clear, but didn't want to pull the trigger against these people who, like, I really came to love in the game, still have close relationships with. Here, this is a season full of, like,
they've all
players.
Played before. Yeah.
So, I'm pulling the trigger, like, you know, and, like, if I need to, yeah. right? Like, so I think that I'll be willing to be a little bit more cutthroat just because people kind of signed up for this. And I think that's where I'll diverge a little bit. But my foundation will be exactly the same.
Okay. That's fun. I like that. Do you see it being a sort of new school, old school thing, or do you think it'll be a mix?
Yeah, you know, I hope that it doesn't. I hope, I see it. I can see it. And I'm going to keep my eye out for it because, like, I'm a very non-confrontational person in real life. At the same time, I'm not an idiot. I'm a litigator. Like, I'm in confrontation all the time. Very adversarial nature is my job. At the same time, like, I like to play organic survivor. I want to get on the tribe, and I want to see who I'm meshing with and, like, hopefully go that route. If that's a mix of old school, mix of new school, 100% cool with that. But if this old school, new school thing starts to brew, I, like, will fall in line and get behind it because I don't want to get picked off right. like anybody else. But right. I think I'll keep my eye out for it, but I'm really hoping that that's not the case.
Yeah, are you worried that one of the 48 people will be, like, a first boot just because you just played, we just saw them, we know, like, is that a worry?
It definitely is. I definitely feel as if that could be on the top of people's minds, especially because of the recency bias. Like, 49 just played,
yep.
but they just saw 48. Everybody just saw 48. That said, I think all of us kind of have things, like, Joe is a physical threat. You need a Joe at the beginning of the game. I'm a physical threat. I can help a tribe at the beginning of the game. And I'm also, you know, like, we were both just shown to be a part of these majority alliances that, like, was locked in. Whether I was doing shady shit or not, like, I was locked in with that alliance.
You were?
I do worry for Camilla at the beginning of the game.
Same.
Like, you know, I think that she might have to do what she did last time. Throw somebody on the bus. Build a common enemy. But, like, I think if I really thought about it, I'm worried about Camilla for the beginning of the game. Hopefully, I'm worried about myself for the middle of the game, the merge. That's when guys like me need to go. And I'm worried, or Joe, middle of the game. I'm worried about me late game, rather. Because I think, like, as soon as you start to get to the end, people are like, former winner, he's got to go. That said, who knows? Maybe somebody tries to cut me at the beginning. That would suck. Nothing I can do about that.
Well, speaking of Camilla, I mean, you won. Do you think there's something in her that's like, all right, like, I love Kyle, but he can't go far? Because it's putting a target on me, and also I want to win now.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I think there's conceptions. I don't want to say misconceptions about the game, that, like, people think that Camilla was just, like, willing to, like, hand it over to me or something like that at the end. In reality, we had this agreement, and, like, the only way one of us could win is if one of us were sitting at the end.
Yep.
But to speak to your... So it's funny, because I think we're an incredible duo, because we saw every game, we saw every move the same step of the way the entire time. Now, there's two parts to your question. If Camilla is threatened of me as a player and, like, doesn't want me to get that far because she knows what I could do if I get to emerge, I'm sure she is. Camilla's, like, really smart, and she knows me better than anybody on this island, probably. So that's scary. With respect to her having any sort of ill will or worry about me, I don't think so. I would like to hope that Camilla does it. But that said, I mean, if cutting me is good for Camilla's game, she's going to do it. Like, yeah. Camilla wants to play this game. She played last time on a season where people were locked in a majority alliance. It wasn't that fluid. I think this time she's really excited to play with people who are willing to sort of voting blocks and, like, bob and weave. And so I'm going to be looking over my shoulder with her 1,000%, because I know she'd love to, like, get that TV moment and just clipping me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's both. We want to see you guys probably work together, but it's also like, well, it'd be fun to see, you know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Did I ask you this already? Because is there anyone that you're looking at, like, I just don't see myself working with that person?
You know,
or it'll be an uphill battle. Or
I said the 49ers. I think this is a 50-50 coin flip on Charlie. Charlie is the one person who, like, you know, I'm scared of Ceree, but, like, I think Ceree and I could work together. Everybody's scared of Ceree. I think what scares me about Charlie is I see a lot of similarities in myself, and that's not, like, a self-aggrandizing, like, ego thing. I think it's more so that what I respect and admired about Charlie's game is that he was willing to sort of put his ego to the side and, like, sort of, he's very unassuming, but a very strong player. Mm-hmm. And I think because I just did that exact game, people are going to be thinking about me. But I don't think people are going to be thinking about just how good Charlie's game is. And again, I'd like to work with scary people. If Charlie is somebody who, like, we're in the mix together, we're on a starting tribe, I would try. But he's also somebody who I know, like, the guy, like, really oozes social intelligence, and I know he can look right through my bullshit. And I don't really want somebody around who's able to do that.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, you won the game, so it's a weird question to ask, but is there something from your experience that you wish you did more of, or is there any what-ifs or unfinished business? I'm assuming no, but anything you'd like to do this season that you didn't get to do last season?
I think the one answer, I experienced Survivor to the fullest. I got to do everything, caught fish, played idols, won challenges, like Majority Alliance, you know, like playing in the middle. But I think that like one thing that I really lost sight of out here, and like even though I learned a ton of lessons about myself, is just having fun. Like the way that my game started, I think people forget about it because I won, but like I lost a challenge, I got sent on a journey by my tribe, broke a challenge, like I was down and out after day one, really kind of like really feeling down in the dumps. And like, fortunately my tribe had me and I was able to sort of work my game in a different way. But I think I was in fight or flight mode from day one. Like 3 hours into this game, I was like, I'm doing whatever I can to stay here. And like that colored my entire game. And that's why I was so nervous and like anxious in a lot of times and like really thinking through all the options. And the reason I wanted to come out here is to have fun. Like I'm a lawyer. Like I am working my ass off every single day in a very like, you know, office-esque like place. And so to be out here on an island, like I want to have fun. Like I want to have a good time and like enjoy it too. And I think last time it was business, and this is a business trip too, but like I'll have a little bit of pleasure on the side. Like,
yeah. I think that with a returning player season, you let loose a little bit more.
Yeah.
You're like, and especially you won. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like icing on the cake. Real quick, going back to Camilla, I forgot to ask, do you plan on, if you are on the same tribe, it seems crazy, but maybe they'll do that. Would you downplay your, or like keep your distance? Or are you like, listen, everyone sort of knows, like we'll just talk and like not bullshit.
Yeah. I think damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yes.
If we're on the same starting tribe or even at the merge, whatever Camilla and I do is going to be scrutinized. So we have to talk. It just has to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to assume things, they have to assume things, but hopefully I have insulation around me, rather like with my starting tribe, with the community I built, whatever it may be, that protects me there. The way I kind of thought about it is like a friendly defensive posture. Like I'm not going to be adversarial towards Camilla unless I have to be. Hopefully there's something where we can work together, that would be nice, but like I have to be defensive with respect to her and defensive with respect to what people think about us. And so like, you know, if she wants to work together, maybe we figure out hand signals, code signals, something like that. Like get it even shady.
Oh my God. The viewers will love this.
I know, people won't get it. Maybe that'll go over people's heads. Like we'll never talk. I mean, we barely talked last time.
Yeah.
But if it's adversarial, then I'll just have to like tell everybody like, guys, please, like, believe me. Like I don't have anything going on with that woman. Like I promise I'm not doing anything.
That's hilarious. Oh, was there any preparation that you did to come out here? Did you watch any old seasons? Or you're like, are you familiar with people's relationships, other than you and Camilla, like everyone else's relationships?
So with respect to people's relationships, I think I have a good pulse on it, but like I didn't focus on that too much just because I didn't know who was going to be out here, right? Like the
you can only guess, yeah.
Yeah, I can only guess. Like there were different lists and stuff, and like that was like literally right after I won. So I was like barely on the internet.
Yep.
Barely had time to look. But like I watched landmark returning seasons. Like I watched Heroes versus Villains, Game Changers, Second Chances, Winners at War. I watched returning seasons. I also looked at like winners who were on those seasons. So I watched JT season before I did all of those things. I think we played similar games in some respect. And I looked at how these players perform on the returning seasons. And like what I learned is that, you know, themes, like there's not going to be easy boots out here. There's not going to be easy votes. And so like it's all about narratives on these returning seasons, like who's with who relationship wise, lions and hyenas, strong players, weak players, just different themes narratives you can sort of spin. So that's what I've been kind of thinking about, is like what drives the votes on these returning seasons, what sort of players like eat their way through and things like that. And then of course, like I just did these challenges, so I've been working out with an eye towards being physical out here.
Smart. Okay. And I know you got married, right? You got married. Okay. And what does your wife, what does your family think about you doing this again so soon? They're like, you just won. Like, what are you doing again?
Yeah.
Or they're like, no, go.
Yeah, my wife and I had, Maggie, we had no expectations of me being out here for 50. I think I got the call, the call a little bit later than expected, than others. And she was just like shocked and like excited. Like her family, my mother-in-law Susan was actually the one who got me into Survivor, and they were the ones who were like, you should apply, you'd be good at this. And then so like she's my biggest biggest sort of cheerleader with this stuff, and was super excited. But it did feel harder leaving this time, especially because like we've been just, you know, getting married, moved back to New York, changed jobs. Then we start the season and like we're gone so much. We've been traveling so much and coming off the heels of a very busy season up until me winning. It just felt like we haven't had time to just sit back and enjoy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Have you gone on a honeymoon or anything?
We did. We went to Aruba.
Okay.
That was the first time I like saw sand again after Survivor, because we got
PTSD.
Married a month and a half after 2 months. But right around 3 months, I was ready to go. Yeah, back to the beach. But like, it's been nonstop. She just started a new job. But like, she was super excited about me going out here. My family is obviously like, you know, my mom's like, go get another check. Like.
Yeah,
you know,
the video was so cute. The video of you telling her.
Yeah,
you never get to see those moments of like you guys getting home and like having to explain to your spouse or whatever. So love that.
Yeah.
I know we probably have to wrap up soon, but if you can't win this game again, like if you're writing someone's name for $1 million, is there someone on this beach you're like, I would love for them to win, if it's not me?
Camilla.
I
think it'd be Camilla hands down. Like, I just think that she's such an awesome player, and, like, we do have a really good friendship, like, a sibling-related friendship. And if it wasn't Camilla, it'd be Joe, because I look at Joe very, like, Joe is, like, you know, it's funny because Camilla and I are so damn close on the show that people kind of forget just how close I was to Joe and Eva. I'm wearing Eva's shirt right now. But, like, it would 100% be Camilla, and then if it couldn't be her, it'd be Joe.
Okay. Do you think Joe has a good shot out here?
I think Joe's probably got the best shot out of the three of us, because, like, you know, Joe is a very good player, and Joe is doing stuff out here, too, that was shady, but, like, you know, Joe's, like, kind of that all-American guy, and he has this, like, presence that people like to be around.
Mm.
I think I have that in a way, but it's different. Joe's, like, has, like, a different sort of, like, gravitational pull, and I think that, like, as long as the people on his tribe aren't, like, out to get him from the get-go, I think he has a good chance of making far in this game again.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.